my microphone on. There we go. I'm on now. All right. I'd let Andrew lead another one. I'm okay with it. He has full discretion with the music. I let him do that kind of thing. And if you would, grab your Bibles, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Many of you know we have been going through some main doctrines that we hold as a church, the statement of faith that we have in our Constitution, and we have covered quite a lot of ground, and we're almost through the series. All right, so all right, wow, no applause. All right, you guys must be enjoying it. I hope maybe, and so we've got three more parts. I think if I can do this part in one time. All right, if I can't get all this in one message, we'll break it up. But Genesis chapter 2, we are up to ultimately section number 8 in our. In our statement of faith, and that is on the institutions, called the institutions founded by God. There's three things that God instituted, that He put into place and organized and ordained to have, and those three are ultimately the family, the government, civil government is part of what God has designed and ordained, and the church. And so we're going to look at those three possibly this morning. I don't know that I can cover all three this morning. The second one's easy. That one's quick and simple, and we're all good on that. But the family and the church are two that are very large and very particular. So Genesis chapter 2 is where we'll be. Pardon me, after all that singing, I needed a little water there. Genesis chapter 2. Of course, we know that God creates man, and Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." And out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. By the way, just a side note, if you want to know why we call everything what we call it, Adam, all right? That's what he called it. And Adam gave names, right? And so that's what he did. So why is a dog a dog? Because Adam said, "Hey, that looks like a dog." All right, that's all it is. That's what he did. So how do you know that? Because God said so. That's how it worked. So you want to know why you got all the different kinds of birds and all the names for all those weird birds and all the things? Adam named everything. You're fine. All right? You say, "Man, I don't know. We discovered something new." No, you didn't. You didn't discover anything new. You just didn't know it was there. That's just new to you. That wasn't new to God. God already had that, and He already brought it in front of Adam, and God already has a name for it. And even if you get it wrong, He knows what it is. And verse number 21. You say, "Man, if you were in Sunday school," I got to teach the teen Sunday school this morning, so I'm a little fired up, okay? Amen. I love teaching on prophecy. And I got to do it for all of Sunday school. So now I'm a little extra, you know. So I apologize if I'm a bit feisty this morning on this. Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed.'" Here you have God originally, we understand as the timetable goes in the chapter. In Genesis 1, he kind of summed it up and said, "Male and female created he them." Right? And then chapter 2, he lets you know how it really happened, how the breakdown really was. And he creates man, and then he needs a helpmeet. It's not good that he's all by himself. And so he makes and brings all these animals over, and the animals aren't good enough. And so, amen, evolution, still wrong. Anyways, I already preached that, so I won't go back, I promise. And so he goes ahead and he creates an helpmeet for him. That means somebody who is suitable to go with him and to be a part of him. That is what a helpmeet is. It is a completer for what he needed. And so a husband and a wife, in the context right here, I'll get into it hard here in just a moment, is a man and a woman. And I don't even know why I have to use words like as they were at birth and before you messed up whatever God made. But I'll get into some of that here this morning. And you say, boy, you're gonna say stuff about that. Yes, I am. It's in the Bible. You say, well, what if they cancel you? I have no idea what they're canceling me from. By the way, I'm going to slide this in. If everybody's ministry is a YouTube ministry, they can cancel you. You know, they can't cancel this right here. All right, they try real hard, but that's kind of hard. Anyways, I won't. You're going to get me in the weeds if I'm not careful today. Not going to do it. And so you say, what's the deal? God has designed the family to work as a unit. Later, he's going to tell them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. The duty of the family is the husband and the wife. One man, one woman brings forth children, and they spread and gather and do all the things that they're supposed to do. That is the way God has designed it. Ladies, I know you don't like the design of parts of the family. Some of you really don't like the design of parts of the family. But the family works when the family works the way that God designs it. So why do you say it that way? Gentlemen, love your wives. Love, I'm going to say it again, love your wives. That does not mean I told her I loved her once and I'm done. Show your love to your wife. And that's not just a peck on the cheek, and that is not just a walk by and say hi in the morning. Show her you love her. If you don't know what that means, we'll do some marriage counseling, all right? Show her you care. Love is demonstrated in sacrifice. Love is demonstrated in time. Love is demonstrated in giving. Those are three areas that are pretty good on if you could get some of those things down, gentlemen. Your wife would know that you love her, all right? You say, are you perfect at it? Nope, I'm just like you, all right? I fail. But you better make sure she knows you love her. Because that makes it easier for her to do her job, which is to submit, right? Ephesians chapter 5. The wives, submit yourselves also unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. By the way, I'm going to do this. I'm going to say two things. Gentlemen, your wife is not always lovable. Sometimes she's got a bad attitude. Sometimes she's having a bad day. Sometimes she says things she doesn't mean. Sometimes, all right, I know mine's lovable all the time, but I know your wife. Right? Because we're not all lovable all the time. That's just not how it works. Okay, but ready? Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it, right? His job. Were you lovable when God saved you? No. Were you lovable when he gave his life? Well, no, you were his enemy. All right? So some days you may think your wife is your enemy, gentlemen. That does not change your love. Amen. Say, why? Because it's not about you and her, it's about you and him. Amen. Your relationship with God was, God told me, love my wife. And some days, you know what your answer's got to be? I'm going to love my wife because the Lord told me to. Because I want my relationship with my God to be good, trusting that he will fix the relationship with my wife. Ladies, ready for some deep stuff right here. You ready? You submit. My husband's a loser. He's a jerk. He doesn't understand. He's no good. He's failed. He's awful. He's terrible. I know. So am I. I don't have every day perfect, and you don't have every day perfect. Say, but I think he's totally wrong. He probably is. But that's not your job. You know what alleviates, by the way, ladies, you know what could alleviate a lot of your stress? Submit to your husband and understand it's his decision to make at that particular moment. I'm going to trust that the Lord knows what he's doing. He told me to submit, so I want my relationship with him, with my God, to be right, so I'm going to submit and do what I was told, even though I don't like it. Now, I know there's abuses and all those things. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. God designs it. And so what he does, he designs it that way so that it alleviates all the pressure off of the woman. Right. Ladies, you don't have that same pressure. You don't have to have that same pressure anyways. If your husband's leading and he's doing what he's supposed to do and he makes a choice, you know what you get to say? That's just what Dad said. That's what Dad said, so we're doing that. Well, yeah, but I don't think, it doesn't matter. That's what Dad said. Well, yeah, but can't you? Nope, I can't overrule him. I'm in submission, so I don't have a choice now. The decision was made. We came to a decision. The decision was final. That's the final decision. It's not for me to change it. It's for him to change it, so you'd have to convince him. Well, that seems like dictatorship. No, it alleviates your pressure. It alleviates all of, you know why the woman is the weaker vessel? Not because she can't lift as much. It's because she doesn't like pressure. Now, guys don't like pressure. In general, the idea is nobody likes pressure. But guys tend to compartmentalize better so they can handle some pressure. That's the point. You start looking into those things, that's what you'll find. And God designs the family, and he designs it on purpose. And so the husband is supposed to love his wife because Christ loved the church, and he's supposed to do what Christ did, and he's supposed to lead and be a great leader and a servant leader and do all the things he's supposed to make it easy so the wife will submit and do what she should do so that she can have a good relationship with God and go ahead and be there and be his number two and right there with him and right alongside him and all those things. And then the kids will actually pay attention. By the way, there is a verse in the scriptures that repeats over and over again, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that it may go well with thee, and that thou livest long upon the earth. You say, why do you get to live longer? Because your parents will kill you. That's what should happen. Old Testament, they would stone you with stones. How do you like that? Say, why is that promise that you may live long? Because they would stone you if you didn't in the Old Testament. Now, we're in the New Testament, so you think, well, I'm under grace. Yeah, only long enough for God to go ahead and kill you. You say, that seems kind of harsh. Go ahead and look at the life of people who are disobedient to their parents and they run. They don't have long life expectancies. Some of you have friends that you grew up with that are already in the ground. And you're not 30 years old. You're not 40 years old. And they're in the ground not because they got some weird, strange disease or because some plague had befallen them or some. It's because they were in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing because they didn't do what they were told. Amen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Well, I don't think that they're right. Doesn't matter. You know what the problem is? Your relationship with the Lord isn't right. Just like the husband who doesn't love his wife, their relationship's wrong with God. Just like the wife who's not going to submit because he's an idiot and she doesn't like it and she doesn't want to do what he said. Okay, fine. You're in rebellion against God, not your husband. Children, you're in rebellion against God when you don't listen to your parents. You say, boy, this is going to be a rough message this morning. Only if you're not doing right. If you're doing right, it's not really all that hard. He laid out the design. His pattern is always the best pattern. Now, I haven't prayed, and so I'm going to. I was going to pray before I got into all that, but we're going to pray, and we're going to keep going. Father, I thank you for the morning, and I thank you for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that can wash a man of his sins. Father, any man, whosoever will, let him come. And I pray if someone here today does not know for sure they're going to heaven. Father, I'm not going to cover a bunch of it today, but I will hopefully by the end of the message talk a lot more about the church and how great it is. But Father, I pray you would bless. Lord, help me to say what needs to be said, nothing more and nothing less. Father, I pray that you grant me a lot of wisdom this morning. There are some issues and some things that, Father, people are not only dealing with, but, Father, we're in a world that is trying to stir up as much evil as they possibly can. And, Father, I pray you'd give us wisdom as we walk in an evil day. Lord, once again, we pray you'd bless our time together. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. You say, well, you know, I mean, did God really, you know, set up that idea of marriage and all those things? And I don't know how anybody could really question that. Did God really, you know, set that up with one man and one woman? Yes, he did. He did. Say, well, what about all those other things? Now, I'm not going to get into marriage, divorce, and remarriage and all of the craziness. I do not think being divorced and remarried is a sin. I don't think it keeps you out of being in the service of God. I don't think you're a secondary. I don't believe all that stuff. By the way, if divorce is terrible, then God is terrible. Whoa. That's a strong statement. You know, God got divorced. That's why you're here right now. Read the book of Hosea. I'm going to leave it at that. He wrote a bill of divorcement to the nation of Israel in the book of Hosea. So you know what that means? If divorce is sin, then God's a sinner. Well, now you've overstepped. So you might want to maybe recheck your paradigm there on the scriptures. Anyways, I'm not going to get into that any farther. I'm going to back up now. You say, why does God allow it? Well, you can find out here in Matthew chapter 19. Verse number 3, the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? There it is. That's divorce, put away. That's the Israelite term. That's the Jewish term. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's where we get that phrase from, right? At the wedding? Why? Because God's the one who ordained marriage and set it up to be a husband and a wife coming together. And they become one. And they operate as one. And so he says, verse number 7, they ask him a question. Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away? I love his answer. He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. And then he gives you some reasons. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except for it be for fornication, shall marry another, commit adultery. And shall marry another committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery, and so on down it goes. And so you say, well, you know, does God allow for divorcement? Well, yeah, he does. He does. It's right there. It's right there. The nation of Israel, why does he divorce her? Well, because they committed spiritual adultery. They went after other gods and they went against him and all the things, and that's the picture to Hosea and all the stuff, and you can go ahead and read all that. But the idea of marriage was man and woman become one forever. That's the idea of marriage. This is the best results. All right? This is what we're talking about. God's design. God did not design Adam and Eve to sin, right? They had the ability, but he didn't design them to be sinful. He designed them to be pure and innocent and righteous. That's the way he designed them. He designed them to be holy like he was. He made them in his image. So when he creates the idea of marriage, it is the idea of pure, holy innocence. So then if it's the design, well, what's the right design? The right design is a man and a woman forever. They stay married for their lifetime. Say, well, that's not how it went for me. Okay, let's get the forgiveness on the things that you did wrong. Amen. And endeavor to do it right. What does that mean? That means get right with the Lord and find the right wife or the right husband and go ahead. You can get married again. I see no verse that tells you that you can't. But you might want to go ahead and be cautious. That's the caution that, of course, the Apostle Paul gives. He gives the caution of the problem that if you didn't take care of the things from the past, you will endeavor to fail in the present, right? It's the same thing in every area of our Christian walk, isn't it? If you notice that you continuously fail in the same thing, what do? You stop doing that. You have to make a change, right? If I'm a drunk and I keep going to the bar and for some reason I would really like to quit drinking, but I keep showing up at the bar, maybe I should probably make a change, right? That's a simple and a silly illustration, but the idea is, hey, if we go in, going in knowing that we've done it wrong before and not trying to fix the problems of our past, we will repeat the problems of our past. And so there's more caution given to somebody, and you could find that in Corinthians, to go ahead and if you're loose from a wife, you don't have to seek another, but if you have to, go ahead and find one and all the things he puts in there. I wasn't going to cover divorce this long, but it's very prevalent right here in the passage. And so, you know, we have so many people that have to deal with that. And not just in our church, but people have people that come into churches now, and that idea, oh, well, you've been divorced, and now you're just, and I hate it. Like you're some weird, second-rate, horrible person who maybe even got saved later in life, and you have a divorce, and you're about, what, you're going to count that against them? Like, you could have, you know what doesn't make sense to me? This is not in my notes. Lord help us. You know what doesn't make sense to me? You could have this wicked man who lives a life of spuriousness and goes out and he's all over the place and he's with 40 different women before he gets saved. But because he never actually married one of them, he's perfectly fine. But one person who marries their high school sweetheart, only ever been with one person in their entire life, is 35 years old, they get a divorce because they got saved, their wife wouldn't get saved, or she got saved, the husband wouldn't, the other person leaves and goes away, and everybody looks at them like, oh, you're horrible. When they're physically, the idea, they're more pure than anybody else that's around them probably, but you know what, that one person, boy, they're terrible and awful. We got a weird look. People get a weird look on the truth of what the Bible does not put them in a secondary class. You say, well, the pastor, he's supposed to be, we'll get to this in a second. The pastor is the husband of one wife. So he can't be divorced. That's not what it said. If you're loosed from a wife, you don't have one. Corinthians. Well, then you only got one if you got remarried. One minus one plus one equals one. I don't know what weird math they're doing. I also think that it's very funny that they skipped the first thing on the list, which is blameless. Anyways, be all sorts of fire. I'm fired up this morning. I don't know what happened over there with the teens. You guys got me rolling. Say, what's God's design? God's design is one man and one woman forever. It is not whatever the world has decided to pervert and to change. Look over at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you were over to go over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 4, God's statement about it is the marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Then he makes this stipulation, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We live in a society today where, well, you know, you just got to try it and find out if it's okay. That's stupid. Not only is it wicked and sinful, it's also stupid. The idea that, I've got to go ahead and hop on my, I don't even know what they are anymore, Tinder and whatever, I don't even know. I got nothing. All these weird apps that they got, all these weird dating apps so that you can just do hookups with all these people. And in and out they go. You say, what are they doing? Wicked. And they think they won't be judged for it. Yeah. And whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. And then it gets worse than that when you get to Romans chapter 1 and verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. This idea, well, I don't believe in God. God's already showed himself. It's a lie. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no excuse to not believe in God. Because that when they knew God, This is the problem. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Say, what's that? Whoremongers and adulterers. That's what that is. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I know we've got kids in here, not real young kids, but we do have kids in here, so I'm going to do my best to be as respectful of the pulpit. I do not like to dirty the pulpit, okay? So I'm going to be as respectful as I can, but I have to also be as real as I can. And most of your kids, if they go to a public school at all, have already heard more things than I will ever describe from a pulpit. But the truth is right there, the first step down is that idea of whoremongers and adulterers. That's the live free generation. We already had that here in America, didn't we? Right? All the way back to the 60s. Let's do our thing. Let's do what we want. And let's, yeah, we see how this is going. He says in verse number 26, for this cause, God gave them up onto vile affections. For even their men, women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not retain God, like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, and not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's an awful list. As a reprehensible list. You say, what happens? You go to whoremongers and adulterers, and then you turn around and you get worse. Leave the natural use of the men, men with men and women with women, doing that which is unseemly. You say, what are you talking about? Homosexuality? You say, well, you know, you can't decide who you love. Yes, you can. That's number one. Yes, you can. Number two, it's not natural. Well, you know, you just can't change how you were made. You weren't made that way. Say, so how do you know that? Because you weren't made that way. He says so. Naturally, that's not how it goes. Say, so how do you know that? Just look at nature. Anything in nature. Go ahead, take your pick. Anything. Feel free. Say, what do you get? Every electrician knows one thing. Male and female are the only connector ends. And if you plug them in or try to do anything differently than male to female, it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And it will probably blow you up if you get the wrong one. What's the problem? Mankind has gone ahead, and in their ignorance and in their arrogance and in their feelings of, well, you just got to verify my feelings. I don't have to verify any of your feelings. By the way, I also don't have to buy into your weird psychosis. Because you're nuts doesn't mean I have to be. Well, you know, you say, what are you getting into? You realize that the farther down the passage you go, the worse it gets. And he doesn't even describe the worst of it. You know, that you and I both know that a pedophile is deserving, well, he's deserving of death at least. But anyways, the pedophile, you think of that just for a moment. You realize there's not one reference in your Bible to tell you that's wrong. That's how wicked it is. Recognize that. It is so reprehensible, God goes, everybody just knows that. I don't even have to put that in there. Well, what's with all this transsexual, metrosexual, 800,000 different letters and names and numbers and tag-ons and symbols and whatever else you can possibly put on? What is all that about? That is wickedness beyond what God even has to list in the Bible, because it is so wicked that He doesn't even have to tell you how wicked it is. That is what we're talking about at this particular moment. You realize that we live in a world where a guy says that he's a girl and can walk into the lady's bathroom? That is completely reprehensible. There is no words to describe to me, and that I could even possibly give you, to tell you how angry and upsetting and how wicked that truly is. That is just wicked. The idea. By the way, this is fun and interesting. You ever thought of this? Why is it that a guy wants to go into the ladies' restroom, but I know of no ladies who claim to be men who walk into a men's room? Yeah. Boy, I wonder if there's something else in there. So what's the problem? Wickedness. What does the devil try to do? Get you to think that's normal. So what are you doing this morning? I'm trying to get you to recognize very quickly, none of this is normal. If you even have an inkling to think that because you go to public school or because you go to the workplace and somebody is gay or somebody is this or somebody is that and they call themselves this and blah, 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 that's all just wickedness. It is a world being wicked. And the truth of the matter is that we cannot go ahead and just go, well, it's okay. I mean, it's not okay. It's not okay. It is not right. I know some of you, it would cost you your job to say all the things that I am saying. It will not cost me mine. At least not yet. Don't worry, I'm sure somebody will splice some audio for you. And the truth of the matter is, you say, what are they? They're sinners. But as soon as you lose God's vision of what the truth is and what a man is and what a woman is, that is the weirdest thing, by the way. How come you can't tell me what a man is and what a woman is? What is wrong with you? Why can't you answer that question? The world looks at you and goes, well, you know, it all depends on how you feel. And wait, what, huh? We have science to tell us what a man is and what a woman is. And if you dig somebody up 1,000 years from now, you know what you can do? Go into their bones and tell you exactly if it was a man or a woman. And guess what? You have no idea what their identifiers were. You say, that sounds so mean. No, you're conditioned to think that sounds mean. That's just truth. All that is the truth. You say, well, you hate those people. No, that's what they want you to think. That's what they want them to think. They think that I hate them. They think that I'm persecuting them, that I'm an awful person for saying the truth. You realize, isn't that the problem with the world? They don't want to listen to the truth. That hasn't changed. So what's the difficulty? The difficulty is they will not receive the truth of God, and so they go to a reprobate mind and do those things which are not convenient, and they go ahead and they ruin ultimately the picture of what God is trying to show. Well, we can love whoever we want, and you'll be judged for it. Who knowing the judgment of God, the wrath of God is revealed. You say, oh, well, you know, I feel. Okay, there's your problem. Stop feeling and start thinking. Well, you seem very unapologetic about what you say. Absolutely. Amen. I'm absolutely unapologetic, and I will stand here and I will not be moving. Amen. The world can continue to go in the stupid course that it is taking, but I do not have to follow them. Right. And neither do you. Right. You say, well, this seems very difficult to stand in an evil day. God didn't ask you to not stand. He asked you to stand. Yeah, even when it's an evil day. Say, what's the problem? If we can eliminate the three institutions that God founded, if the devil can eliminate those three, he wins. You know what he's going after? You go after the family. You're in the idea of a family unit. You go ahead and pay for single mothers to make sure that they stay single mothers so that they can have as many kids so that they can. And you subsidize. Let's just keep subsidizing. Let's go ahead and just keep doing all the... I'm sorry, I got into research. I apologize. That I actually read. Maybe you should read. You recognize that everything is geared to destroy the family. They're conditioning the thought process. They're putting it on every show they can possibly put it on the television. They're putting it in every movie they can possibly sneak it into. They can put it in, and they just keep putting it in and putting it in and putting it in and putting it in, and just so that you feel like it's normal. You realize the population of people who actually believe or think in that type of a reprobate mind in the United States of America is by far less than 5%. And you think that it's normal. It's not normal. It's not the vast majority. In fact, you want to know how bad it is? In America right now, do you want to know how bad it is? I saw a video, and it was this woman and lesbian. And her statement was something like, 40 years ago I marched because I thought I was just marching so that I could live a quiet life with somebody that I loved. I am so sorry that I marched. I regret it because of what we have now. That'll tell you how wicked you've got it right now. That'll tell you how wicked it is. That even somebody who doesn't even agree with us, I don't know if she would agree with us on virtually any level. You know what she agrees with? This is ridiculous. I don't even know what this is. This is not, if I knew they were going to take what I did and build upon it this, I would never have done it. Wow. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? You say, well, did she renounce her own wickedness? Nope, but she did renounce everybody else's. That's the next step, isn't it? All the way down? You know what she recognized? Boy, that's I won't even go there. So why? It's destroying the family. The society you and I live in America right now, all the laws they're trying to pass and all the things that they're trying to do is to go ahead and protect this very tiny minority in our country who are completely delusional. You say, delusional sounds pretty rough. They have mental illnesses. I feel very sorry for them. I don't hate them. I don't dislike them. But I'm also not going to go ahead and go, well, I mean, they did tell me to call them, and so I don't do that. I don't do that. Amen. Say, why? I don't have to believe in their weird world. Amen. That's their thoughts. I feel like, and you have to affirm my feelings. No, I don't. I really don't have to affirm anything for you. You see, people today, and I don't know if I'm going to get past this one point. I'm a little too fired up this morning. You know, people today, they feel like you have to go ahead and pat them on the back and tell them they're great even when they're not. You know, even when I was a kid growing up, when we did something wrong, we were punished for it. Swiftly and sometimes severely. When we didn't do it right, we had to do it again. I didn't do it right. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Now kids today think, boy, that's really mean. I tried. Well, they didn't even really try. They just, I want to go play my video game. Anyways, don't get me over there either. I'll be all over. These are all hot buttons for me right here. I'm just, in case you're wondering. You say, what's the problem? The problem is, well, you have to affirm everything that I do, even when I'm wrong. No. They don't understand that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? They don't understand, well, we don't follow our heart and let our conscience guide us and all these. No, I don't need that. I have a book to guide me and to tell me what is right and wrong. I turn the pages of a Bible, and if I'm confused, I look in there and it tells me and gives you much more clarity on the issues. Well, yeah, but the world wants to, I don't care. The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God. And it ought to be foolishness with you. Christians get sucked into this stuff all the time and they act like, well, it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. They're destroying families. And they're destroying them by the hundreds. And now they've got a generation of children that they think that as soon as their son goes, I want to play with a doll, well, he must be a girl. Let's give them hormone blockers and a surgery ASAP. But I heard somebody, I was reading, I don't remember where I read it. This woman is a grandmother. For you grandmothers in here, could you imagine making these statements right here? Are you ready? If your 8-year-old granddaughter wanted to be a boy, what would you tell her? Well, if you want to be a boy, you can be a boy. And, well, would you give your daughter or your granddaughter hormone blockers and do a surgery? And she said, well, yes, of course. Then they asked this, you ready? This is the kicker right here. You thought, boy, that woman is just crazy. That grandmother is crazy. And then they said, would you let her get a tattoo? And she goes, no, that's permanent. Do you know how hard it is to laser that off? Well, judging by your reaction, you understand how stupid those two statements are right there. I won't let my 8-year-old granddaughter get a tattoo, but I will do something that will completely damage her body for her entire life, not knowing the consequences of what she is about to do. And they think you're crazy. Well, that tattoo is too permanent. What do you mean, which one's more permanent? You're kidding me, right? That's people who have no understanding, no reality, and they are absolutely deceived into pure wickedness. Now you say, well, what do you do about it? Just do right. So, well, I know somebody like that. What do I do? Love them, witness to them, talk to them, try and help them. Well, they won't listen to me. That's okay. Say, how do I interact with somebody like that? They're a human being. All right? They need Jesus Christ. So who's going to help them the most? Jesus Christ is going to help them the most. Dad, husband, who's going to help you love your wife? Jesus Christ is going to help you love your wife, right? Wife, who's going to help you submit to your husband right? The Lord's going to help you do that, right? Kids, how are you going to submit to your parents and do right? Well, with Jesus Christ's help, you can do that. Put that rebellious spirit back down and go ahead and do right. How's a lost person going to figure any of that out? They won't figure any of it out without Jesus Christ. They won't figure out how to live a life. They won't even understand any of it. So what do they need? They don't need you to convince them that they're crazy. They need you to convince them that Jesus Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures and He was buried and He rose again the third day. They need to know that you love them even though they're as messed up and don't believe whatever it is that you believe. That you care about them and you don't want them to spend eternity in a lake of fire. Oh, they're going there because they're... No, they're going there because they're a sinner. Just like you were going there because you were a sinner. I'll never forget it. I don't know if I still have a picture for it or not. But James, that was at Harbor Fest, wasn't it? He knows exactly what I'm talking about. This guy, teenager, maybe 18, 19, comes up wearing a skirt, little pink, fluffy, weird ballerina tutu type thing. Mesh shirt, comes walking up, weirdest thing you'll ever see. He walks up, and I'll never forget him kneeling down and praying with James and asking Jesus to save him. You say, oh, that's because you hate him. What sense does that make? I don't hate him. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't hate him. Gave his life for him. Just like he gave his life for you. Well, yeah, but I'm not in that wicked abomination. Yeah, but if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you recognize one thing very quickly. You're destined for an eternal damnation in a lake of fire just like they would be if they do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, yeah, but you know, some of them, you know, they get saved. I don't know if they really mean it. They don't ever change their life. They stay where they are, and they don't really change. And okay, well, how many Christians do you know got saved, didn't change their life? They decided to continue on the road that they go down. It doesn't make them any better. It doesn't make them any less wicked. It doesn't make them any, but it doesn't make them saved. Boy, it'd be great to see them get saved. Say, why? Then the Lord has a chance. You realize now, just like every other lost person, those attacks on the family, you recognize this very easily. Every one of those attacks are things that you and I could also have to deal with in the future. Family members, friends, co-workers, people we come across. I know people in this church, they've got family members. They have to deal with this all the time with family members and friends and trying to walk wisely without totally destroying relationships. Say, man, you were really hard though. Yeah, I was. Because you know what we need? We need to be sure of what the truth is. Being sure of what the truth is makes it easier for us to stand. It makes it easier. It's kind of like, I'm going back to this picture. Ephesians 5, right? Who's the husband in the relationship for our salvation? Christ is. Right? Okay. I'm hoping you're going to get this. You walk over and you go, okay, well, who's the bride? We are, right? The church. Well, he said it, so I'll just do it. Well, I don't like that. It doesn't matter. All the pressure's off me. All I have to do is what my husband told me. Boy, isn't that easier? Well, yeah, but, you know, sometimes there's, yeah, I know. You got to love them. You got to love them. You got to love them. I'm going to say that again. You got to love them. But doesn't loving them also include the truth? We speak the truth in love. Let your speech be always grace seasoned with salt. You can be gracious, and you can be loving, and you can be merciful. And you do all those things, but you need the truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. They need the truth. They need to know that they can. That is not acceptable. It's not acceptable with you. Now, you don't have to go out there and find a fight. Okay, let me make this one clear, because I'm just going to stay on this, and we're going to be done here in just a couple of minutes. You do not have to pick a fight with somebody. It's not your job to fight with every human being that you see that is dressed weird or thinks weird or talks weird or does everything. All right? That's not your job. Give them a gospel tract. You can keep walking. You can do whatever. You do not have to pick a fight. My problem is I find people who always want to seem to pick a fight. Great example are the wonderful, wonderful mighty men of David. Those guys never had to look for a fight. Say, why? The fight always came to them. They just stood where they were supposed to. Right? Sheamus standing on a hill of beans. Battle comes to him. From doing what? Just standing where he stands. I guarantee you, if you stand where you're supposed to stand for Jesus Christ, you will have plenty of things to fight about. You'll have plenty of fight to go around. That's not an issue. All right? So those of you who got saved and you used to love a good fight, get in a good fight. And it's the good fight of faith. And you can stand. Some of you guys were brawlers. Well, brawl for Jesus Christ. Stand there and let a fight come to you. Don't worry, it'll get there. You stand long enough, it'll get there. You don't even have to try. Sometimes you'll get fights you don't even want to have because you're just standing where you're supposed to stand. Say, well, what's the truth? The truth is God designed it, one man, one woman, a natural man and a natural woman, to be a husband and a wife. Their job is to bring forth children and to raise those children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. By the way, let me slide this in because I don't like it either. So I'll go ahead and get me in this. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Oof. You don't need to rile your kids up. They're riled up enough. All right? So how do you know that? My kids are riled up enough. So what do? You discipline. Because the rod of correction will drive it far from him. The choice to go ahead and punish the child who does not do what they're supposed to do. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Boy, that was really dumb. Yep. Okay. Go ahead and punish. Now, I get this asked of me, and I don't have teenagers yet. I dealt with a lot of teenagers, though. Some of my teenagers in this church are now adults in this church, and that bothers me. You realize I did not have the same ability as the youth when I was running the youth group and doing all the things with the youth. I cannot grab a stick and hit your kid, right? Poor brother Kevin, he cannot grab a stick and hit your kid as much as sometimes we want to. So what do? You find ways to punish that actually punishes. So what do you mean? You leave them exempted from things. You remove privilege. You realize I'm getting into this because I'm getting into this. I can deal with Uriah one way right now at 3 that I don't deal with Elijah the same way, and I certainly don't deal with Mela in the same way, right? We understand that. By the time Uriah gets to be 13, not going to be the same as when he is at 3. Right? We understand that's not quite the same. So by the time you get out to 13, you know what, parent, you might have to start thinking about doing, some of you with kids like me, or some of you that are getting in this spot right here, you need to start thinking of things you can do that your kid loves and wants in their life that is a privilege to them that you can remove from their life. Say, what does that do? It's called punishment. Consequences for actions. Well, you said I could go. Yeah, but you disobeyed over here, so you don't get to go. But you said I could. Nope, you disobeyed. You broke it. You lose. Yeah, but my kid's not going to stand for that. Be the adult. Let me help you out real quick. Be the adult. I don't know how else to put that. Go ahead and be the adult. Stand there and tell them the truth and be done with it. It's done. The argument is over. There is no arguments. Uriah's learning at 3. There are no arguments. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop doing. I will go ahead and punish you. And you will not like my punishments. And if you continue, your punishment will be worse next time. And you figure out what is worse. Say, they're unruly. Get them ruly. Figure out what it takes. You say, well, it's going to be really hard at first. It's always hard at first, especially if you weren't doing it right the first time. There's people who, they came from lost backgrounds, they came from this, they came from that. They deal with these things all the time. And you know what you have to do? Make the change in your life. You want your family to operate the way God wants it to happen? Then Christian, you know what you need to do? Make the right choice and do it the way God wants you to do it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I cannot stress that enough. It will help you. It will help you in life, let alone help you with your standing with God. I don't like what they're telling me. I don't like their rules. I don't like, guess what? When you get out of your house and you grow up and you get old enough, you're going to enjoy the fact that they gave you rules. It will be helpful to you. It will be wonderfully helpful to you. Say, everybody says that, because it's true. It's not my fault that everybody says it. It's true. You will enjoy the fact that there were rules put upon you. Boy, I'm really glad that I had to do that all the time. I'm really glad that Dad gave me chores and put me to work. Why? Because now when I go to work, I actually know how to work. Could you imagine a boss looking at you and being like, thank goodness I have somebody here who knows how to work? That you'd excel in virtually any workplace now if you just knew how to work, an honest day's work. Well, you know, my husband, he just makes such bad decisions. All right, we'll help him make the right decisions. Don't lord it over him when he failed. Forgive him and submit to him. Give him the best counsel you can give him and then let him go. It's his choice. Husbands, well, you don't know what she did. You don't know what she said. You don't know how. Okay. Love her. Love her. Love her. Why? Because he told you to. He told you to. Tonight I'm going to be preaching on the Holy Ghost and being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost becomes a weird, creepy word if you've been around Pentecostals too much. Well, charismatic, he's going to preach on the Holy Ghost. The truth is, one of the indicators of whether or not you have the Holy Ghost filling you is whether or not you treat your wife and your husband and your kids and your parents right. In case you're wondering. So how do you know that? Because that's all in Ephesians chapter 5. So what's our problem? Our problem is we have let, not only have we let the world erode the idea of the family in their eyes, with all the sin and the wickedness and the vile that's there, we've let the world erode our view of how our parents are as children. We let the world erode the idea of the wife and the husband. We let the world erode the idea and the truth of what God said about who we're supposed to be in this life with our spouse, with our kids, to our parents, all those pieces. You know what the world does? Well, the bumbling dad, the overbearing mother, and the wicked, vile, unruly kids who know everything. That's the portrayal in the world. And then we wonder why none of these things work and why they always seem broken. Now one more hit to you fathers and husbands. And then I'm done. I'm going to stop. Well, my kids won't listen and my wife won't submit and they won't let me. I hate that statement. That statement grates on my face. That is like a cheese grater to the face to me. All right? Just seriously. She won't let. What kind of a wussy are you? Be a man, walk over, take your pants back, put them on, and do what you're supposed to do. Your family will not be the family it's supposed to be, gentlemen, if you do not lead it. I cannot tell you that again. I cannot say it more succinctly. I can't say it any better. If you do not lead, nothing will go the way it's supposed to. That doesn't mean you can't listen to your wife's advice and get good counsel. Get good counsel. But stop pawning all the responsibility of running the house and knowing everything and being able to do everything and being able to have your hand upon it and taking responsibility. That responsibility is yours. It's not hers and it's not your kids. Boy, that's pretty harsh on dads. No, that's the truth on dads. The truth is, the reason homes are in the place that they are in is because fathers will not lead and stay and stand. Our country is a mess. Their thought processes are a mess. We can look out at them and we can go, they have no idea what they're doing and it's terrible and it's awful, but the problem is you've let it into your home. And that's what makes it terrible and awful. What makes it terrible and awful is you looked around and you said, yeah, but I don't really, you know, I'm not as bad as them. Yeah, but judgment starts at the house of God. Christians, clean house. Let's go ahead and stand. Am I the perfect parent? No. Am I the perfect husband? Not even close. But boy, I really would like it if my family succeeds as a family. I'd like it that I lead my home and I try to do it God's way and I try to go forward. I like it if I could just stand for the truth and having done all to stand, even when everybody else doesn't like it. You know, sometimes, gentlemen, you know what you'll have to be? You'll have to be the person in the house that nobody likes. I was told this a long time ago. The church is a picture as well, as you know. I was told a pastor should not be a dictator. Husband, don't be a dictator. But he ought to be accused of it every once in a while. Dad's just a dictator. Okay. Take that accusation every once in a while. That's fine. Because you know better. You're just going to do what's best for the family as opposed to what's best for you. Lead them. Guide them. Strong families make strong communities, make strong churches. The church is strong when the family's strong. There's no schisms. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I do pray you would just bless the invitation. Help us, Lord. Father, I pray you bless the families of this church in particular, that your hand would be upon them. You'd lead and guide and give them wisdom. Help these men to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to be able to stand in an evil day and lead their family and guide their family and strengthen them so that they can do it. Give them wisdom, give them understanding. I pray we'd have strong families and a strong church. Father, even if our nation is trying to be weak and even if our nation is trying to fail, I pray we wouldn't. I pray we'd stand and having done all to stand. Father, I know there's lots of problems and lots of concerns and lots of issues in some families in this church. Father, extended families and different things they have to deal with. Give them wisdom. Father, help them to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, and that we'd see your hand work in those families and in those lives. Father, once again, we pray you'd bless in Jesus' name. Amen.